Join me in your copy of Scripture there this morning in Psalm 71. Psalm 71. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, please take one from the seats in front of you there. Psalm 71 in that copy is found on page 524. I do want you to follow along with us as we study God's Word together. You home folk know that we are in a series in Psalms, but I know that we have some visitors with us here this morning, and so if you're visiting with us, thank you for joining us today. You're joining us this summer in a series in the Psalms where we're looking at some selected Psalms for summer before we return to our series in Romans when fall comes back, and it sounds like it's on the way. As we turn to Psalm 71 this morning, we're reminded, I think, of the beauty of the totality of Scripture, namely that all of God's Word has something to say to us about every area of life. I hope that you've noticed that a bit as we've been just dropping in on some various Psalms through the summer. And as we've dropped in on all these various Psalms, we've found that there are Psalms for worship. There are Psalms for stargazing or looking at God's creation. There are Psalms for fathers and family. There are Psalms for trouble. There are Psalms for the cross, Psalms for life. There's something in God's Word for all of us that we all need, but perhaps we could even say that there's a Psalm for each of us in whatever area of life we may find ourselves. And I think we see that very clearly this morning as we turn to Psalm 71, because Psalm 71 is a psalm for old age. Some of you here this morning will just gladly admit that. I'm in that category, and I'll take all the discounts I can get. Others of you are probably in that category, but you're in denial right now. And so you're trying not to be categorized in that way. And then there are probably many others who are on the doorstep of being in old age. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I leave it to you to decide if you fit in this category, if you don't think you do. But as we look at Psalm 71 this morning, as is true anytime we study God's Word, no matter where you find yourself this morning, the truths of Psalm 71 are really for all of us. And I pray that God's Word will instruct us this morning as we hear it. Let's read the psalm together, and then we will pray and then study some here in Psalm 71. Beginning in verse 1, the psalmist writes, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I've become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver.' O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. I will also praise you with the harp, even your truth, O my God. To you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed, my tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long. For they are ashamed, for they are humiliated, who seek my hurt. Can we pray together as we look to God's word now? Father, just as you fed your people in the wilderness day by day by giving them bread, so you have taught us that we live not by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. And so it is to your word this morning that we look. And as we come to your word, we pray that you would feed us again. I certainly know not how to say the kinds of things that would be appropriate for all of the needs that are present in this room. Father, you know each one of us. You know the burdens on our heart as we've come here this morning. You know the things that weigh heavily upon us. You know the cares of our thinking that even now want to distract us from your word. And so in your mercy to us, would you speak to us again? May we be like Mary who sat at your feet, setting aside all of the other cares of things that could be done, because we recognize that you are the one of greatest value. And as we set you in your place this morning, and we give our attention to you, we pray that you would indeed speak to us. So grant us grace this morning in the hearing of your word, and in the applying of it, having heard it. We ask this in your name, because we know that you have heard us as we have sung so often this morning, and that it is your desire for us to hear your word well. As we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I read the story of a pastor who called a lady in his congregation, and he told her that at her age, she really needed to start thinking about the hereafter. And this woman responded to the pastor, "Oh, pastor, thank you for calling. I do. I really, really do think about the hereafter. I think about hereafter all the time, in fact, because every time I go somewhere, I have to stop and ask myself, what am I hereafter?" Or there's the story of the senior citizens sitting around a table talking about all the ailments that are true of older people. One gentleman said, "My arms are so weak, I can hardly hold this cup of coffee." "Well, yes," the other one said, "my cataracts are so bad, I can't even see my cup of coffee." "Well," said another, "I can't even turn my head, the arthritis in my neck is so bad." "That's nothing," says another, "my blood pressure pills make me dizzy." And finally, one of them concluded, "Well, I guess this is just the price we pay for getting old." And then after a brief pause, he said, "But it's not all bad. At least we can still drive." It is good, perhaps, sometimes to laugh a little bit about old age, because old age is not an easy season of life. There are unique and weighty challenges that come with age. Some of you know that very well. In the last years of your life, there are new fears about new problems. There are physical weaknesses along with mental weaknesses. There's loneliness and isolation. There's the feeling of uselessness, that you cannot do what you once did. There's vulnerability, an increased danger. There's perhaps the shame of having to be dependent on other people to care for you. There are physical and financial and emotional and relational needs. Old age is a difficult season of life. And so it seems to me, anyway, that our American society handles the difficulties of old age in about the same way as they handle the difficulty of death. And that is, they simply put it as far out of their thinking and their living as they possibly can. Like children who play hide and seek, they think that if they cover their eyes with their hands and don't look at it, that perhaps old age will never come and maybe even death. Really, I don't think it's surprising that old age is so distasteful to so many, because we live in a society that values only what is new and what is young and what is beautiful and what is strong. And old age, it's not those anymore. And so sadly, it seems that some in our society have taken to dealing with people in old age by simply setting them aside to just wait out their time until they die. They are ignored and pushed off. And even there are increasing discussions about things like euthanasia in our society. And so I get it. Who really wants to admit that you're old? And so we make every effort to hold off old age as long as we do. We do this with the magic of hair dye and wrinkle cream and icy hot and trifocals or quadrifocals, if there's such a thing, and a handful of pills. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't use those things. You're welcome to all those things. In fact, I thank God that we live in a place where we have access to a number of things that help us through a very difficult season of life. But at some point, we need to stop pretending that we're not old. And we need to simply look in the mirror and we need to admit, I'm there. And so if I'm there, God, how can I live my old age years for your glory? How do I not waste my sunset years? How do I keep from becoming just a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman? How do I face the challenges of aging? And indeed, there are challenges. How do I face them in such a way that it is instructive for other people who are watching my life and who will be where I am very soon? I think the psalmist here in Psalm 71 helps us answer some of these questions as he deals with the topics of old age. Psalm 71 is a bit of a unique psalm in the sense that there's not a title at the top of it that tells us the occasion when the psalm was to be sung or used or who the author was. All of the other psalms that we've seen through summer have some sort of title at the top. Psalm 71 stands among just a few in all the Psalter that doesn't have a title. But most scholars think that Psalm 71 is a psalm of David, and they have some good reasons for thinking that. In many manuscripts, Psalm 71 is combined with Psalm 70, and Psalm 70 is indeed a prayer of David. And if you look on the other side of Psalm 71 to Psalm 72, when you get to the end of Psalm 72, you see that that is the end of book 2 in the Psalms. And the last verse of Psalm 72, verse 20, says, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." And so, likely, Psalm 71 is in this section of the prayers of David, and it is a prayer of David, probably written when he was an old man. It's a prayer which looks at the troubles that come with aging and the troubles that come with life, but it looks at these from the perspective of confidence and the perspective of someone who trusts in God. In fact, I think it's fair to say that the psalmist's trust in God here in Psalm 71 is even more sure than his trust in God earlier in life. And that's because he had seen God demonstrate his faithfulness through all those years. So rather than facing old age with resentment or bitterness, I think the psalmist shows us a better approach here in Psalm 71. And I think in his prayer we see two necessary reminders for old age. There's much more that we could take time to dive into here, but for sake of simplicity this morning, perhaps just two observations about this psalm, two reminders for old age. Number one, old age is no time for substitutes. The first half of the psalm, verses 1 through 13, I think shows that clearly. Old age is no time for substitutes. The challenges of aging are real. And the psalmist, writing perhaps some 3,000 years ago, describes the challenges of aging in terms that sound like the same things we would say today. Notice some of these. He mentions, first of all, loneliness or uselessness, or perhaps the absence of help. You see that verse 9. Verse 9 speaks of this in two statements. But the first statement there, he says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age." When you're in this season of life, you can no longer contribute like you once did. You're no longer productive. And it's possible that someone would say, "Well, you're of no value to me then. I'll simply cast you aside." And the psalmist's prayer here in this season of life is, although I am in this season, I may not be able to be productive like I once was. Do not cast me off. There's the reality of loneliness or uselessness, no help. The second reality of old age is mentioned in the second line of verse 9 there, and that is weakness. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. In old age, there's no longer the strength to do the things that you once were able to do. Now, you either find those things to be very difficult or perhaps not even possible to do anymore. Strength has failed. Weakness is a regular part of life in old age. And then the third thing he mentions are the enemies that have come back. These are presumably enemies from earlier in life. And if this is David who's writing this psalm, and we've studied through many of his other psalms, we know that there are often prayers to God to deliver him from enemies. And here again, we find these same prayers about enemies which have come back again. You see this in verse 4, and verse 10 and 11, and verse 13, and verse 24. And so, in other words, there's a recurring struggle. Something in the past that has been difficult has not gone away. I could imagine the psalmist saying what some of the things I've thought. Well, maybe when I get to be an old person, I'll no longer have to struggle with that anymore. And here the psalmist is saying that was difficult way back then, and it's still difficult now. The problems of the past have come back. Now, you and I may not have enemies who are pursuing us, but I think we can identify with this reality that we found that even in our aging years, some problems just don't go away. The problems of the past come back again and again, and they continue to haunt us. And so the psalmist is honest here in describing the difficulties of old age. But notice that as he describes these things honestly, he's not consumed with self-pity or with the tone of defeat here. Instead, what we find is, as he writes Psalm 71, we hear the tone of confidence. The psalmist knows where to look in the needs that old age brings. And where does he look? Well, verse 1 is clear, isn't it? "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed." Through the many years of his life, the psalmist has learned to wear a path in his thinking that runs straight to God. He has made this a path because he has traveled it again and again. And as he has run to God time and time again in midst of difficulty, he has proven through those experiences that God is something. Now notice in these first five verses, as he's praying to God, as he's running to God again down this path he has so often traveled, he describes who he knows God will be. He says in verse 1 there, he knows that God is a refuge to him. In verse 3, he calls God a rock and a fortress. In verse 5, he calls God my hope and my confidence. In other words, the psalmist knows what he's going to find when he runs to God. He knows who God is. He knows what God has. He knows who God has been to him in the past. I think that's why Some of you older people are so loyal to some things. I found this to be true with older people. You are very loyal to certain products and certain brands, certain restaurants and certain doctors, perhaps. Why are you so loyal to those things? Well, it's because you've lived long enough to try all of the other ones, right? And now you don't need to try new stuff. You know what works and you know what doesn't. And so when someone says to you, hey, this is new, try this, you say, no, thanks, I don't need that. I found the things in life that really work. Old age is no time for substitutes. You want what's tried and true. So may I say to you this morning that what you practice so well about grocery stores and brands and restaurants and doctors, you need to learn to practice when it comes to your needs of life. You need to find that God is your trust. Old age is no time for substitutes. You need to know where to run. And you need to know, like the psalmist, that when you run to God, you will find him to be who he has always been. So wear out a path to God. Run to him time and time again. Bring to him the request that you see there in verse 2. Deliver me, verse 2. Rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Old age is a difficult season of life, so wear a path to God with these requests. The psalmist reflects in verses 5 and 6 on all the years of his life, going clear back to his youth and even to his birth, doesn't he? Remembering that from his mother's womb, he had seen God demonstrate God's faithfulness in his life. We've mentioned it many times before, but let me just mention it again, that the Puritan John Flavel has this wonderful quote about God's providence. And God's providence is God's sovereignty, that he is in control of all things, but his providence is applied in action in our lives. It's what God is actually doing. And Flavel says of the providence of God that the providence of God is like Hebrew words. It can only be read backwards. And here the psalmist is, he's old in life. And so he's got lots of perspective, and he can look back across all of his life, and he can say, from my very youth, indeed from my birth, I can see the providential hand of God there and there and there, and all the way to the present. The psalmist knows the faithfulness of God. It has been proven over many years. And so this certainly is no time for substitutes. So then with a mixture of praise, which you see in this psalm, and prayer, because this is a prayer, the psalmist takes his burdens to the Lord. And his burdens are particularly mentioned there in verse 9, and then about the enemies in the following verses. But he brings to God these fears of being abandoned and his weakness. He simply sets these things before God in prayer, and he honestly admits to God, he says, I'm old. My strength is gone. I bring no value or ability to the table. I cannot fix my problems, God, and there are fears that are rising up inside my heart. But this is no time for substitutes, and so I turn to you once again, and I ask that you will not forsake me, and you will not cast me off. I don't know what perhaps are the greatest fears of old age, but maybe that in verse number 9 is it. Perhaps it's the fear of being forsaken, the fear of being pushed aside, the fear of being no longer needed, the fear of being cast off to just live out your days in loneliness. You're not so strong anymore. You're not so able anymore. And the psalmist says to God, God, this is a fear of mine, and so I'm asking you, please, not to forsake me in my old age. That's what the enemies are saying, though. They're saying that God has forsaken him. See that? Verse 10, he describes that the enemies are coming against me. And then he says, this is what the enemies are saying, verse number 11. They're saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver him. But the enemies, the psalmist knows, are wrong. He knows that God has not forsaken him because God does not forsake his people. God is faithful to his people. Going back as far as you can think in your mind, consider the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to his people, and he will shepherd them through life, and he will shepherd them through death until he shepherds them into his presence. And God's faithful shepherding of us, whatever stage of life we're in, is not because we're so faithful, nor because we're so good, nor because we're so strong. God shepherds us because he's so good and because he's so strong. And so the psalmist can rest in the faithfulness of God. He has not forsaken me. Now, to understand this does not mean that everything in life will be easy. Please don't hear me saying, Psalm 71 is a psalm for old age, and if you'll pray this prayer, everything will be easy from you from now on. You know, your arthritis is going to go away, and you won't have to use the wheelchair anymore. That's the garbage that's peddled by prosperity preachers. No, no, no. Life is not easy. In fact, what we see in Scripture is quite the opposite, that sometimes God actually uses our weaknesses. God uses our difficulties as the thing which proclaims his strength and his glory. Do you notice that in our scripture reading this morning? 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is saying there, you know, God has done some great things for me and I've seen some wonderful things in life, but God has also humbled me and he's given me something very difficult, this thorn in the flesh. And I prayed, I asked that God would take it away. And God's answer to Paul was, no, I'll not take that away from you, but I will give you my grace. And so God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And then Paul said, Lord, would you rethink that? No, he didn't, did he? He said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. He goes on to say, I'm well content with weaknesses and insults and injuries, for when I'm weak, he's strong. That's what we have to remember. Friends, in your old age, you have got to get to the place where you are content with your weakness, with your inability. Your strength will fail. You cannot do the things you once did. You will feel the reality of loneliness and discouragement. You will feel like you've been pushed aside. And yet in your weakness, it is an opportunity for God to display his strength. So learn to live upon God's sufficient grace and sufficient strength. That's what the psalmist teaches us here in Psalm 71. Old age is no time for substitutes. And then secondly, in verses 14 through 24, we see that old age is no time for silence. The last half of this psalm, remember this is a prayer here. The psalmist speaks much about talking about God's character and what he calls in verse 17, God's wondrous deeds or God's faithful work. And really, who is better equipped to talk about God's faithful work than an old person who's seen God's faithful work over all the years of their life? And so look at all the times that the psalmist speaks about talking about what God has done, or as you get to the end of the psalm, even singing about what God has done. I'm just going to reference these. Follow through there with your eyes. Verse 15, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long. Verse 16, the second line of verse 16, I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. Verse 17, the second line, I still declare your wondrous deeds. Verse 18, and even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. And then at the end of the psalm in verses 22 to 24, it's all about him singing these things. He says in verse 22, I will also praise you with the harp, even your truth, O my God. To you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long, and my soul which you have redeemed. You see all that? older Christians, you're in a season of life where perhaps the temptation is to step back from everything, to just say, I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. I'm of no value anymore. I'm just going to step back and fade into the background until I'm gone. And I think the psalmist here actually shows you quite the opposite, that this is not a season of life to step back and be silent, but this is a season of life to step up. Old age is no time for silence. So I'm speaking here to Christians who are older, who have walked with God for many years, okay? If you've not walked with God, I don't know that you have a lot to say, but if you are here this morning and you are an older Christian who has walked with God, you have something to say about who God is. You have something to say about the power of God and the faithfulness of God that you have seen in your life. And because you have gray hair, or maybe like me, because you have little hair or no hair, it actually gives you more weightiness in what you say. Because what you say about God is not just what you know in your mind to be true. That's sometimes true of us as young people. Young people can be accurate. We can be theologically precise. We can say things that are true about God, but we say them because we know that Scripture says that they're true. What we say is true, but we've not necessarily experienced it yet. Some of you older people can say, not only do I know these things to be true about God, but I have the receipts to back it up. And I can tell you about this occasion in life when I saw God do this, and this season when I saw God's faithfulness shown in this way. I think this is essentially what John has been trying to say to us in Sunday school, is it not? And John, forgive me if I've put you in the old age category here, but this is what John has been saying to us in Sunday school. He's been saying that over the years of his life, through careful examination and even critical thinking, what God says in his word is true, and it lines up with what we see. And so often in our Sunday school study, John has turned his attention to the young people to say to young people, you can believe what God says in his word. You can take him at his word and find life there. That's the psalmist's desire in verse 17 and 18, isn't it? And this is the heart of the prayer itself. He says there in verse 17, oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. You see, the psalmist says that this generation needs to know what the older generation of godly believers has come to know and experience through life. They need to know the strength and the power of God. You see that in verse 18. They need to know the righteousness of God, that God has done great things, and that there is none like him, verse 19 says. So who's going to tell the younger generation these things? The psalmist recognizes that this is his desire. God, in my old age with gray hair, don't forsake me until I teach the next generation your truth. But he says in verse 20 and 21, God, you're going to have to help me with that. You've shown me troubles and distress. You've been with me in those things in the past. You're going to have to help me again to revive me, bring me back, give me greatness, comfort me so that I can continue to tell the next generation the truth of your faithfulness. A while back, our family was reading a little missionary book. It wasn't so much a biography as it was a book written by a husband and wife missionary who served in the Congo in 1950 and 1960. And the book had all these little chapters, little stories is really what they were. And many of them were fun to read, entertaining to read. Some of them were quite dangerous situations. But the missionary who wrote this was very clear at the beginning of the book that he was writing this book in order that the younger generation would read these things and they would know of God's faithfulness and God's protection and God's provision. His desire is the psalmist's desire described there in verse 19. He wants people, the younger generation, to read these things and know that God has done great things and that there is none like him. Young people, you need to hear stories like that. You need to be challenged in your faith, as William Carey said, to expect great things from God and then to attempt great things for God. And so I say to you older Christians who are here this morning, who've walked with God, who've seen God's wondrous deeds through all of your life, you need to tell us what you've seen. We need to hear it. Old people are good at telling stories. Some old people are good at telling the same story over and over. Older godly Christians, tell us your stories over and over so that we will hear what you have experienced, what you have found to be true about the faithfulness of God. Make much of the great things that God has done for the next generation so that we will come to trust the living God. And then this generation will grow up and we will be old. And it will be our responsibility to say these things to the next generation, to say in the language of verse 17, God, you've taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. Really, when you think about Psalm 71, you think about these two truths, that this is no time for substitutes. God is faithful. He can be trusted in any season of life. And God is a God worthy to be praised. You realize that Psalm 71, yes, it's for old people, but this is a psalm for all of us, isn't it? So whatever kind of aids you're wearing here this morning, whether you're wearing hearing aids or whether you're wearing pink princess band-aids, we all together should remember that God is faithful and we should declare his praise. May God make that more and more true in this body here. Let's pray together as we close. Thank you, Father, for those in the generations before who have walked with you, who have not only read your truth and believed your truth, but they have found your word to be true as they've put it into practice in their life. And they've said to us as we've been raised under the sound of their voice that you indeed are alive and you are powerful. There is no God like you. You are to be believed. You are to be trusted because you are true. So, Father, I pray that you would help our older generation here today to feel the call from your word to step up, to put themselves around others and to speak for you, to not just tell stories of the old days, but to tell stories of opportunities when they saw you at work. And Lord, may we in the younger generations listen carefully. May we value what's being said to us. May we remember these things. And may we be challenged to believe these things. Lord, you have chosen in your wisdom to work through many things. And the church is one of the things that you use in our life for our good and our growth. So may this church body be a place where the older ones are instructing and reminding us about your great works. Truly, Lord, we desire that we together with one heart and voice would say with the psalmist, there is none like you. So to that end, move our hearts, we pray, to believe these things and confess these things as we ask in Jesus' name.